So next we've got Simon O'Connor from the Responsible Investing Association of Australasia. So it's Australia and New Zealand. The RIAA, as they're known, has recently put out its latest report on how much money is ethically or socially responsibly, well, it's not just socially responsibly, but responsibly invested in New Zealand. So latest numbers, how is New Zealand going?
Yeah, look, tracking really favourably over the last 12 months. We've hit around $130 billion of assets under management in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. It's been invested under responsible investment strategies. So mm-hmm. that is ethically invested, all those mainstream institutions who are mm-hmm. applying an environmental and social lens to their investing. Yep. So, look, that's up quite substantially. And what we're looking at now, the big rise in the last 12 months has really been around screened funds. Mm. And that really comes from the KiwiSaver providers.
And in your report, you made the comment that, you know, there'd been a massive shift by KiwiSaver providers to negative screening, and it was something you'd never seen of that level before.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we've reported today a 2,500% growth in screened assets under management in New Zealand. So quite an astronomical figure. We've hit around $40 billion of assets, primarily KiwiSaver providers, but also other managed funds.
So what brought that about? Was it the media?
Yeah, I think so. Effectively, there was a big media focus in August last year on the holdings of some of the KiwiSaver funds, particularly in controversial weapons, landmines, cluster munitions, and tobacco. And that really fed through to a political response, a legal response, and ultimately a consumer response that indicated that most New Zealanders just aren't happy to build their retirement savings on the basis of these investments.
So the fact that they've been sitting there for, you know, we're in the 10th year of KiwiSaver, and they only made this big shift to negative screening because of public pressure, doesn't that say something about the way that they've actually been embracing RI? As, you know, it's actually negative on them?
Yeah, well, it indicates a bit of a shift in mindset, really. And I think what it indicates is that ultimately consumers do expect that their funds are managed in a way that does no harm. And I think previously, probably fund managers, KiwiSaver providers, others probably expect that actually their role may or may not be to consider these kinds of issues. And I think what's become really clear in the last year is that this fundamentally is the role, and those providing financial products for consumers have to consider the values of those consumers. Yeah.
But with RI, you know, you step through, you know, negative screenings, you know, it's the basic, it's pretty simple, you know, moving up through the different stages, and I think there's seven different versions. But, you know, ESG seems to be the big one which people need to embrace. But in terms of reading your report, it appears that very few of the retail managers, it might only be three, are actually embracing ESG, you know, substantially. I would have thought that was a pretty poor outcome.
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing is more of the institutional investors and the fund managers in this market are starting to consider an ESG integration approach, whereby they really do consider environmental, social factors in all their investment decisions. Probably what's still lacking is really a very clear and comprehensive description as to what that means for these managers. So over the last couple of weeks, we released a report in Australia last week, New Zealand today. Through that process, we've assessed about 100 fund managers. And what we aim to identify is those who are really doing a comprehensive and leading approach in ESG integration.
And in New Zealand, at a retail level, it's actually very small.
There's only a couple of managers there that really come through with that.
I think there were three. There was Harbour, there was someone called Southern Pastures I'd never heard of, and
HRL Morrison, and in addition to that, AMP Capital,
who have been the leaders in that space in New Zealand. So, that's interesting. You know, the bit I don't get about RI is, to me, New Zealanders, you know, we're nuclear free, we're first year women to vote, you know, clean, green, you know, we tick all these boxes, and yet when it comes to RI investing, we're total laggards globally. What do you think that is?
Well, I think there's two ends of the spectrum in the market. You've got some of the strongest leaders globally sitting there, such as an NZ super fund, for example. And then you've got others who just haven't really embedded what that means to them as fiduciaries and providers of financial products in terms of considering these issues really deeply. So I think it often takes a signal like this, a big consumer switch like this, to really understand what that means and to really push the market forward. And I think pleasingly since that, we've got in place lots of screens now, but we're also seeing a lot of really comprehensive policies, RI policies, coming out.
But a manager's been a bit lazy around this. You know, they're only getting pushed there by the consumers, but maybe they should be like the super fund and actually leading the charge.
So it's interesting that there are certainly managers in this market who have real strengths in areas like corporate governance, for example, that have been really strong on that for a long time. I think there's been some weakness around some of the environmental and social elements. And I think what it's taken, I mean, this is a global shift as well we're seeing over the last couple of years, where a strong uptake is occurring, not just here, but globally. And I think that we have finally reached that point where there's an acceptance that environmental issues, social issues actually matter from a valuation perspective and from an investment returns perspective. So I think this is an awakening that's occurred here, but it's occurring in other markets too that's really shifting things dramatically.
Well, look, some of the managers I know who are embracing the ESG, they're actually realising that it's necessary, you know, as a basically a cost of business. But again, it seems to be really slow. And in your report, you also mention, you know, so the big hairy chestnut around RI funds performance, you know, that's the big issue. You know, how in your view and from your report do you think the RI funds are going performance-wise?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, in this research we've just put out, we show the average responsible investment fund in the Aussie market, and we've seen outperformance over 3, 5, and 10 years. Equally with the balance funds, we've seen really strong outperformance, which is great.
Mm.
What I'm pleased about, though, is that there's this mounting body of evidence that sits there separate to our own research that supports this premise too. And fundamentally what it shows is the companies we're investing in, those who manage sustainability issues, these risks that traditionally have been deemed non-financial, they're the companies that actually perform really well from a financial perspective over the long term. So I think that's really become much more comprehensively supported.
But from an investor's perspective, and more importantly, maybe an advisor's perspective, they shouldn't write off RI on a performance basis.
I think that the evidence is to the contrary. In fact, you're going to miss returns by ignoring RI, ESG, ethical investment. So I think we're actually seeing outperformance. These ESG signals are becoming some of the most important to determine future share price movements.
Are there enough retail products in the marketplace? I mean, it seems, you know, there's always a chicken and an egg thing. I mean,
there is,
And one of the things I sometimes wonder about your report is the overall numbers look really good, but most of that money is sitting in a wholesale environment. It's not retail money.
Yeah, no, certainly. So I think there is still a limited number of products out there. It's probably still a bit challenging to get good products across different asset classes. So I think you're right, the chicken and egg piece is definitely real. I think what we've seen in other markets is we're sort of hitting a tipping point where there's sufficient capital flowing into these products that then product starts coming to market. And we're certainly seeing that in Australia. And I would think we're probably a year or so away from seeing much more product coming through in this sort of SRI and ethical end of the market here in New Zealand too. And we're certainly at the moment talking to a lot of managers who are thinking about product.
And your message to advisors about adopting RI?
Well, I think there's been this hesitancy within advisors. We've seen plenty of research that says client demand for this stuff's up here, but financial advisors are still assuming client demand's down here. And I think what we've seen loud and clear through this KiwiSaver issue is that actually there is an expectation by Kiwis that these things are considered in the way investments are done. And so I think advisors ought to be on the front foot asking their clients about these issues, not waiting for them to come up. So whether that's through their fact find, whether that's having appropriate products on their APLs, it's really critical. Yeah. And to the extent that we're starting to see advisors losing business from not having sufficient.
Oh, so you're actually seeing that?
We've heard stories of mandates being lost through clients and wealth management firms off the back of not providing sufficiently comprehensive advice around responsible investment.
Well, that's a bit of a wake-up call for them.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's great. And, you know, thank you for your time. And the report's been really interesting. And I'd recommend that, you know, everyone gets out there and reads the good work you guys have been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, Simon.
Cheers. Thanks very much.